and had me sign it.
Call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019 at 8:46 on the clock. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, and Byers. First up is the consent agenda. And Lytle. First up on the consent agenda, the general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held May 8th, 2019, approve all claims through May 22nd, 2019, in the amount of $2,441,098.19, except claim number 19050142 to Beatrice Lawn Care, in the amount of $730.75, and claim number 19050242 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $273.30 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids on highway striping project for 42.6 miles of highway striping. Ask for a motion and a second.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Hill. Any discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. Next up, the regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 19050142 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $730.75.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Byers. Vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 19050242 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $273.30. This brings the total amount of claims approved through May 22nd, 2019 to $2,442,102.74.
I would move to 24. You said 74. It's 24.
And 24 cents. Thank you.
I would move to approve claim number 19050242.
Second.
Moved by Byers. Second by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Since we last met, the new phone system has been installed. We still have not quite signed off on it. That's going to come in the next week or so. We have just a couple little things that need changed out yet. As far as I know, everything's running smoothly with the phones at this time, so glad to get that project done. We had Diode come in, and they upgraded our panic alarm system. We have a notification panel that has been installed at the third floor screening station now. It still gets called out as a alarm, but it will be a, it will come in immediately at the screening station, and it is also on the deputy's phones, where it's almost like an amber alert, where if that gets pushed, it would notify them on their phone. Bid forms are ready for the sheriff's office renovation to see what that would cost to do. I have a couple copies of the plans. I did ask Rich Burton. I think we need more plans, and so we're going to get those, so I'll start contacting some bidders, and I know that it has been advertised in the paper, so hopefully we'll start getting some bids on that. And last thing would be on the roof. After I got an email from Bill Hilton, said there's somewhat of a snag on the bid. There is a EPDM roof underneath the Duralast roof that, in order to get the permit from the city, that might have to be removed. I did talk to Skyline. They said they did not think that that would be too much of an issue, so I'm going to kind of let Skyline and the city talk about this first to see if it would cost any extra or not, and let them have their say first, and then I'll report back.
Well, and you can tell them since we keep their prisoners over there in our county jail, the city shouldn't charge us anything extra. They ought to pay for the whole thing.
So, and that is all I have for now.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Are the lights still on the tree?
Yes, they are. Are your beans planted?
Oh, well played, Dave.
Well played. Oh.
You notice Dave works with me. Dave. Okay.
Nice work. I just wonder how many times we're talking to Dave and coming up with ideas and those thoughts are going through his head.
When we do the budget, I'll be working on Dave's increase in salary. So.
Anything else for Building and Grounds, Winter Lights?
No.
Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance?
Large ticket items. Dana Safety Supply Incorporated cage insert for Gus's vehicle. $19,644. Washington County Sheriff's Office, inmate boarding and medical, $15,428.33. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock township gravel, $46,321.56. Sapp Brothers, fuel and oil and parts, $20,557.10. Engage, quarterly share of expenses, $34,407.44. Last but not least, Gage County, transfer of funds, $1,903,209.66. The first payment for the Beatrice 6.
And that payment hasn't actually been made yet, but that's a transfer of funds in anticipation of that.
It'll be next pay period.
The other thing we visited about some for finance was potential increase or change in wages for county employees. We're going to be asking for a vote on that in 2 weeks with the anticipation of budget time coming. Whatever's decided for changes to county employee wages, that way it can be voted on ahead of time and go into place July 1st. The union employees are on contract for another year, so their change would also be July 1st. Is that correct? So we'll have everything hopefully in place before our new budget starts for wages. We've also talked some with the Sheriff's Department about trying to figure out any negotiations for the next contract prior to the end of our current contract so that that's all in place before, I guess it'd be July 1st, 2020. But so I'll be thinking about that. If anybody has any comments, I guess, for that today, we can visit a little bit. Otherwise, we'll be talking about that next, not next Monday, but on the 3rd of June as far as what you'd like to do with county wages.
And you're talking about not salaried?
Non-salaried positions.
Just non-salary.
Anything else for finance? Moving on. Human Resource Employee Relations.
Nothing.
You're always fast on that.
I know.
Law Enforcement or Emergency Management?
Gus, I know I talked with the city administrator, and he informed me that Gus was going to be talking to Chief. Did you have that conversation as far as the radios go?
He'll come back to me.
Huh. Okay.
My understanding was they ordered them already, and so I don't know.
He hasn't gotten back to you?
No. Well, he's been in a meeting, and I didn't make that meeting for some other stuff, so I was busy. So I'll try him again today and see where they're at on it.
He must have been expecting you to be there because he was. Yeah. My understanding was is you guys were going to talk about it that afternoon. So.
And I think Chief did. He was at the meeting, and they all talked to you and heard about it a little bit. So. It's on the table, and we're talking about it.
From my talk with Tobias, they're buying the new radio system. They're buying off of the state bid, so there wouldn't be a cost savings. The only thing would be, as far as integrating everything, if they can do the sheriff's department and city police and everything all at the same time, it would probably be smoother transition to do it one time as opposed to two. But other than that, I was waiting for Gus and Chief to talk before I talked to Tobias again. So
with state bid, that helps too. At least we know we have a controlled cost.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I was going to ask. Law enforcement committee, we'd like to, we're discussing this morning, to have a meeting before next committee meeting, just update on where we're at on the radios. The way it sounds to me is our price would be cheaper than state bid, the way it's looking now. But I'd be good if we could get two or three of the committee. We could pick some time just to sit down for just a little bit and kind of go over kind of where we're at on it so you have some idea.
Are you talking with the Motorola people, or?
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd just be with us, and they, he might have John over at Fairbreak over because he's done a lot of their radio stuff and give a little update on how they fared on theirs. But I thought it was unfair that we would at least let the committee know a little bit what's going on with it so it won't be blindsided when we come in with everything. I'm trying to get it all done at one time so you have the packet.
I talked to Lisa some, and she was thinking that we'd be looking, and this may be way off, but she thought it would be somewhere in the $40,000, $45,000 range. Is that what you're not even close?
No. It'll be much less than the last system, but it'll be a little more than that, I think.
Okay.
But that's what I want to have, the exact numbers there. And
she was trying to come up with some real rough numbers. I think that was based on the city switchover.
That is the city's cost. Ours would be somewhere around 70 to 80, I think.
The number thrown to me around 100, but then it were to speculate. We don't know until we get the final numbers on it. So we'll just have to wait and see, and then we'll know for sure there. So,
I guess we got everybody here, so after this meeting would probably be a good time to start that conversation.
Okay, when we're all done.
I would just say if we want to talk about that with everyone here, we probably should visit now.
Well,
and not after, you know, just in case, unless you want to break off and just a couple people visit about it.
We probably can't because Chief's up in Motorola right now this morning getting some more stuff set up, and he's the one I've been having had this for me. So I'm not going to have a lot to tell you than what I told you right now. So we might have to do it between now and next meeting. If someone wants to get together, we can certainly do that. So just have to let me know, and we'll go from there. So
I think you have the right idea. They'll try to get in front of it.
What the holdup is right now is they're going to try to get a temporary repeater down south part of the county so we can see what we get for coverage. We know we got better coverage already without the repeater, but we want to see exactly what it is with it. Then we'll have a better coverage map on it.
Well, if you got better coverage without the repeater, sounds like a no-brainer to me. You already got coverage better than before, even without the repeater.
Well, but you want to go in another system not knowing what you have because we still have to worry about the in-building ability. That's the big thing. There's no doubt it's better. But I just want a full package so we know where we're at on it. So that's what they're kind of holding up on right now. I know that I'd heard the handhelds are probably around the 900 range compared to 7,800. So cost is a lot different. That's no doubt about it. But we can't move as quick as the city because they don't have anything to worry about. They just put them out and go. They don't have to worry about the repeater systems like we have to for coverage around the county. So it takes a little longer to get that accomplished. So we're pushing them hard as we can. So get your numbers in. Okay.
Anything else for law enforcement, emergency management? I guess we had an update from Detective Ernst, gave us just a brief update of some stuff going on through the county. That was good to hear. It looks like we're making a dent on some major problem areas. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Okay. Galen informed me that the people are in Gage County are on recording today. You know, they'll have to put up with the weather like everybody else. So how much gets done depends on the weather. Call for bids on striping. These armor-coated roads, approximately 43 miles, will be put out for bids. John said it's going to rain for the next 2 weeks.
2 days.
Says 2 weeks.
Nice and sunny today.
Oh. All right. So it's going to rain sometime. other than that, everything's coming up on the regular agenda. A few other things. I know I was contacted from some people from Fairbury, and then everybody knows it's been a pet peeve of mine on the fire districts with their 3-cent levy. That's not changed. Well, apparently a new law, and I'll talk to Myron on. I mean, it's not new. It was something that was passed last year, I think, and now the only thing that has to be done is all the fire districts in the county location have to be the same. They don't have to be that 3 cents. So I strongly recommend that every fire district out there gets their budgets well down because they don't need that extra money. Most of them don't, but they have to be uniform for 1 out of the 3 years, the way I understand it. So, and that has to be done by sometime in July, Dawn? It's earlier or something?
Preliminaries have to be in by August 1.
Okay, August 1. End of July,
what he said. They have to be in to us here, so they would have to make their decisions prior to that. What they're
okay. I was also, this probably isn't Road and Bridge, but I was unable to attend the Boswell meeting Monday, but the decision was made to build a new landfill on the south side of the existing one. Not that long ago, it was recommended cost-wise it would be cheaper to run a transfer station. But the decision was made to build a landfill. If it's correct or not, I don't know. I won't live to see it. But on the south side, that will last 68 years. Well, my contention, correct, John?
63 years.
63 years. My contention is things are going to be a whole lot different in 63 years than what they are right now. So I don't know. I guess my opinion is I think it was the wrong move. But whatever, it's done. So in 5 years, that cell on the north side will be filled up. That's it.
We had an accident with a truck and a train. I just gave it away. We have a bill for that for repairs to the railroad for $2,592.56. That also resulted in the salvage and sale of a pup and a new pup being bought. Dawn has called. We have a claim representative now. She's called and talked to the claim representative. Gary had asked about trying to figure out what happened. We still don't have video for that accident or anything to, I guess, to tell us anything. But, Don's left messages. So I think we're down to multiple tiers now. So as soon as we hear anything, we'll let you guys know. I was going to ask
Eric. You're talking with the railroad here or the insurance company?
The railroad.
Okay.
With the actual railroad.
You know how the railroad works. So don't hold your breath.
Railroad works at railroad speed.
Yeah.
All right.
It's $2,000.
Yep.
The railroad.
Oh, everything has been turned over to the insurance, so that we have received.
Yeah.
We also had... We didn't have this for committee reports yet or committee meetings, but we had a blinker left on at the highway department. We were going to tell you about that, so we had to call someone in. So we had a clock in and a clock out, just like we were supposed to, for 2 minutes to shut a blinker off. Might be good to visit with the driver and have him come shut his own blinker off next time, but I suppose, according to our call-out policy, he was called out, so we'll have to pay two hours at time and a half to come shut a blinker off because it wasn't It wasn't the mechanic's fault that he had to come in. It was the driver's fault. I thought you would enjoy that.
Don't ask anybody to be.
We're going to send a letter over to the city, a formal letter asking to annex Sergeant Road from Highway 77, from Highway 77 to First Road, First Road from Dorsey Street to Sergeant, as well as the Township Road, Belvedere Road from Center Street to Sumner Street. I just wrote up a real rough draft, and Don was going to... Oh, okay. Don was going to make it pretty for us before we sent it over. And then I think Rogers also has some stuff in the works with the city attorney about trying to have those roads annexed, with the primary reason being to potentially lower that speed limit. I told them that there is an accident report for the last 10 years. There's only a few accidents. Everything's at the two ends at the intersections, not in the middle. Let's see, and then we have, I suppose that's about it for anything else we talked about on Monday.
And on Sergeant Road, there was two rollovers in the last 10 years, but there was also two others that had dropped off in the last two or three years of previous rollovers. So
there were two rollovers in the last 10 years?
The previous 10-year accident report showed three rollovers, and then we have a new one now, and we only show two now, so two of those have dropped off, but in the last 13, 14 years, there's been four rollovers on that mile.
And traffic studies were done, just so that we're clear on that, and we are at the proper speed limit on that road. That was part of what I wrote in that letter, is the city would be able to lower that speed limit if they want, but per our guidelines, we're at the proper speed, and that's why I take that road. Anything else for Road and Bridge?
If the traffic study done says that it's at the proper speed, why are we asking the city to annex it and lower the speed?
There's also complaint on maintenance on that road. As more people from town move onto the gravel, I think they're not used to gravel roads, perhaps. So it's immediately adjacent. It falls into several of the city's guidelines for annexation, not all of them. I know the two primary would be lack of water service and lack of sewer service. They may not want these, but they are adjacent to Beatrice.
Matt, what is it you always say about people moving out of the city into the county, into the country? Just curious.
A clean version.
Mm-hmm. They just need to be aware that it's different out there. The cars get wet, the cars get dirty, and the posted speed limit is the maximum. But as a lawful driver with experience, you don't have to go that speed. The conditions of the road dictate the speed you go. And the volume of the traffic, that if you take it, what's the average daily traffic?
Seven.
No,
it's more than
no,
that.
No, what is
no,
it?
I think the count was 531.
531 times 365 days. Divide that by the... Now, if you're in that accident, that's a bad deal. I drive that road frequently now because of the complaints, but I don't go 65. What did our speed study show? We had a maximum of 103 or something on that road,
which is nuts.
You know, so there are, and so we're responsible, and the public is responsible for the cost and the maintenance of a road because someone decides to go that fast. And you know, I'm sensitive to the fact that there's accidents, and that's bad. That's not good, but. Slow down. We talked about the washboard that's on the road, the conditions of the road this time of year, the ruts that get put out there. Slow down. Take the hard surface. Don't use it as a cutoff route. I say put stop signs at that three-way intersection there. You do that, that'll significantly remove that and keep people on the hard surface, go down to the light and come over. I mean, I've come up to that intersection before from the south, and you stop, and tell you what, they're beating the band to go west. They're moving.
Yep.
And that's way too fast for that road. There's driveways there. I'm sensitive to the people that live there. Speed is just ridiculous on that. It's gravel.
East to west traffic is bad on that one. And I agree with Matt. Three-way stop there would be a great idea.
Yep. Slow all that down. You got those driveways that are
do a roundabout.
Mr. Jurgens?
And then there's that.
The only comment, I guess.
We got to get a roundabout, man.
is the main thing that I would like to see done is the city has two new patrols. So they would have a lot more time to grade and do a better job on these roads than the county does. I mean, they're there anyway. They're right there anyway. It would just be more fluid. They would take care of the whole works. They would maintain it better than we're able to and better than that township's able to, simply because of money. That's it.
Until you've walked a day in somebody's shoes, I'd be careful at saying that they have more time. They stay fairly busy in the road department in the city.
Well, let me tell you why I say that. Two brand new patrols to grade what during the summer? How many gravel roads does the city have? That's what I'm talking about. Think about it a minute. How many gravel roads are in the city, Beatrice?
Machine-wise, I'm talking people.
Okay.
They would argue their alleys, and I'm sure everyone has...
That's my opinion, strictly my opinion.
I'm not a fan of the three-way stops, but that just slows everybody down, it seems like. So, I mean, it would...
Exactly. Thank you for making my point.
Well, it does. It slows everybody down, but the whole point of a through road is so that you don't have to stop. See, I'm more ecologically focused, where the amount of gas it takes to stop and then restart, it's really inefficient. So I guess if there's nothing else for road and bridge...
A stop sign don't always make people stop either.
Yeah, they can be more dangerous because you think people will stop and they don't. On to a brighter topic. We have an extension update from Nicole Stoner. Welcome, Nicole.
So brought with me here another
example for you guys.
Figure it's good to have it in your hands, what we do. So we've been busy. I finished up pesticide training and master gardener training in February and March. So I worked with Randy Pryor, and we had 222 private pesticide applicators that we trained. And for the recertification, I had 100 renew, had to retrain after 3 years, and I had 25 new applicators. And then I also did a training for green industry professionals, and we had 13 there. It was delivered the same program at 7 different locations through the state, and so I got some good feedback on that. I liked that 92% of the people that in the survey said that they strongly agreed or agreed that they positively identified plant problems before treating with pesticides. That makes me feel good. I don't like it when people spray and they don't know what they're spraying. And then I had master gardener training as well in February and March. 49 master gardeners. I have 4 county-based programs that I kind of help run. I'm the coordinator for, I guess. 27 returning here in Gage County and 5 new ones. So we are keeping up a pretty good master gardener group, and they're taking care of a lot of stuff. I've got some coming and helping Dave here at the courthouse even, so we're keeping busy. And then 4-H is going strong. They had their tailgate kickoff on April 8th, and that was a recruitment event. We had about 300 or more people there, so it was a really good turnout. 39 new 4-H members and 29 new Clover Kids were enrolled that day. So, and those were all new ones, so that's great to see. We had some sponsors for that from Farm Credit Services of America and First State Bank. But it was pretty good event. I just popped in for a little bit, and they had a lot of stuff going on. Pretty neat for kiddos to see all of that stuff. So Jane and JC have both been busy. Jane's teaching at an ag literacy festival. She did that in Humboldt for 250 third and fourth grade students. They had day on the farm on May 8th for 200 third graders from 7 schools. JC's been working real good with her BLAST. So that's 89 youth in that for over 6 hours of instruction on those STEM skills. So that's good. And 10 Beatrice Middle School students are doing the STEM Mentors program, and they're working with robots. So that seems pretty fun. Don't forget that the Gage County Fair is coming up July 24th through the 28th. And JC's doing a Makership Camp. I put the link on there. It's a pretty cool camp that she's doing. There's two different sessions, July 1 to 3 and July 8 to 12. And it's 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. for youth entering grades 5 to 9. So they get to learn all kinds of great stuff. I mean, it's like a really big, intense camp. So it'll be really cool for them. And then Tara, she's hit the ground running. She's our new food, nutrition, and health educator, Tara Dunker. Doing BLAST. She's done some school enrichment. She even did a electric multi-cooker workshop. That's an Instapot. They just can't use that name. Right? So she had 20 there in Saline County, or 19. She did a workshop for Beatrice Board of Public Works on nutrition. So she helped with teach them a little bit. I think she was talking about fads, like food fads and stuff. So when she started talking about it, I said, oh, I want to come to that workshop. That sounds pretty neat to learn about. And she's getting ready. She's going to start some SurfSafe training for, like, hospital people, workers in the food area, like restaurants and things like that. So she's going to teach them how to handle food properly. So that's a good thing if you go out to eat. Good to have that. So they have to have their food handler's permit for that. And you can see on the back, Sophia Lentfer joined us for our summer intern this year. So she's doing a really good job. She keeps busy. I told her I hardly even know she's there. She just sits in her office so diligent all the time. So, no, she's doing a great job getting some stuff organized for us, and she's going to help do some workshops and help with that kind of stuff. So she got to join me on Yard and Garden Live on last Friday, so on my radio show in Fairbury. So it's been pretty cool. Do you have questions about that? I do have something else quick. Okay, so I have just under 24,000 in my account yet till the end of the year. And so we were looking into some things, and JC needs an iPad, and Tara and I could use, well, Tara doesn't have one either, and I could use a newer one. Mine's like first generation, I think, maybe second. It's very, very old. We use them for work when we go to, like, meetings, and we use them for the fair, for show works and stuff like that. It's just handy to have that rather than a computer. And we have some quotes on those. There's a couple different versions depending on, like, necessarily what we want for sure, but anywhere from, like, well, and we could get them cheaper if we go through Galen, through the university, and then we can just invoice the county for that. But like $750 up to, there's one that JC wants is a little more, would be like $1,000 or $1,100. So we were wondering about those, if we could get some iPads. And I wanted to pass it through you guys before I just went and did it, because that's kind of expensive and I don't like to just, even though it's there, I don't want to be presumptuous on that. And then Lindsay would, her desk is fairly old, and she's kind of wondering if she could get, she wants one of them standing desks. I guess it's all the rage. I like to sit when I work. but she would like one of those, and she found one at Eek's over here, would be about $850 total for the, and it'd be just, so she'd keep part of her desk with the drawers and stuff, and then have the standing part so that she can, as, you know, she gets tired of sitting, she can stand up and work. So I just wanted to see what your guys' opinions on those things were, since I still have the money in the budget.
Any discussion on, any comment on the iPads or desk while Nicole's here? I know there's always discussion, what do we pay for, what do we not pay for, and it usually is stemming from 4-H,
right.
Be it copies or copy machines or
right. Supplies.
There's always a lot of question whether
right. We're
liable on those things or not.
So 4-H, remember, is under the umbrella of extension, so they're all within the Nebraska 4-H.
It's an interconnected. We call it gray area. It's always been gray area.
It's confusing, I know. And you know, you try to explain how extension and the county, and people don't understand at all how it works. And I I get that. It's confusing. But so 4-H is within the extension umbrella. So it is a part of Nebraska 4-H. There are the outliers, the things that we would be like Ag Society things. Obviously, we're not paying for copies for them. We're not paying for any work for them. Lindsay, Jane, they're not doing work for Ag Society when they're on the clock.
And Nicole's been in contact with me a lot more. Well, I mean, Nicole has been since you've been here. There were concerns of the board before, how were county employees being managed, things like that. Hours, different items. She's been taking care of that, and some of that's been a challenge, I know, for you. Just so you guys know, as she's called and asked about things, my general comment to her is, it's your budget, and we're not running your budget. So, I mean, just so you guys know the direction I'm telling her.
And as we see. As we see their bills, your bills come through,
We
have questions from time to time. Yeah.
And that's
what
why
the university should be paying for relative to issues and what we're paying for. So
right.
We want you to know that we're aware we're watching that very closely and mm-hmm. should be divided.
Yeah, no, and I, that's great. I don't want to overspend my balance.
We want to support
guess.
You every way we
yes.
can.
Yes, and I want to keep things running. And, you know, it's just for a long time I don't think – that, like, there's been some improvements I've made this year in the office, because you've got to do these things. So, even just getting, like, the signs that people can't park there, there was a real questionable one in our parking lot one day. So, we got those kinds of things. There was something else I feel like I did. Oh, the new printer, things like that. I mean, we're just trying to make improvements as we can. And, you know, since it's there in the budget, but I don't want to be like, send them through, and then you guys not like it. I don't want to do that. So that's why I thought I'd just ask while I was here today.
And Nicole has asked on different purchases, but, I mean, that is basically what I've told her each time. It's your budget. Manage it the way the way you need to. While you're here, while they're thinking, if anyone or Mr. Bowman.
I just had a question. Mm-hmm. You keep the inventory separate. What's purchased with state and with mm-hmm. county?
Yeah.
So any of this property would have to
would
be
county. Yeah, so, like, if we bought these iPads, if I left – which I'm not going to, and went to a different county, the iPad would stay here for the next educator. And like JC's desk, that will all stay in Gage County because it was purchased by...
I don't have the contract right in front of me, but do we allow for non-county employees to use county property? This is where things get complicated.
That's true. Never thought about that. I guess
We're not.
We do have... I'm not sure what the if education... Or the extension agreement is. I know with probation, we have some of that mixture because of that.
Would that be in the interlocal agreement?
As the supervisor used to say, I realize I'm picking seeds here.
No, I know. Would that be included in the interlocal agreement?
I don't know.
That we have? Because we've got that agreement between county and
university. It's just the particulars. You need stuff to do your job. I get that. It's just so that we've got everything spelled out. And I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
Well, and I'm sure Don has shared with you, too, that we need copies of the bills mm-hmm. and not just we need reimbursed $287. We need to have copies
of the bills. Yeah, I think we have,
We have encouraged Nicole to buy locally. I mean, this desk is from Eeks.
The iPads, I think we'd probably go through Galen just because we'd get a little bit of a discount.
Which would make sense, too. Another small change, just so you guys know, the hours will be changing at extension. And, I mean, Nicole, I don't always tell you guys everything as she lets us know things, but they're going to adjust to a half-hour lunch, and then they'll be done at 4:30 instead of 5. There's not much foot traffic, she said, at that time, and it works better for employees. I told her I didn't see a problem, but once again, I guess my opinion is that's their office. We don't run that office. Now, moving forward, you know, who knows where budgets go? Could go up, could go down. But, I mean, you have what you have for this year, and,
right.
and you're working within that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was kind of looking at. And I'm like, well, I don't know if it will go down because of the issues. And so, you know, and we need these things. And so I just thought, well, we've got it there, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lytle.
The thing I'd say is you're budget conscious. I, mm-hmm. as long as you need something, you purchase it. The one thing that I would just say is that if you if you save budget money towards the end of the year and you're looking at buying items towards the end of the year, just make sure you let us know ahead of time, so it's not looking like it's a
right. That's why I wanted to bring it.
At the end of the budget year, I'm just spending all this money because it's there.
Right. No. Right. No. So, and that's why I brought it to you guys. And I am very budget minded. If you ask anybody, I'm very cheap.
The other thing that what Eric just brought up, the thing that I would mention, this is the first that I'd heard of it, or the thing that I would suggest is, you got enough people in the office, stagger your lunch hours so that you can continue to go to 5 o'clock. Because I know for me personally, when there's stuff that we got to send hand in for 4-H, mm-hmm. I'm leaving work a little bit early and busting tail from Plymouth to get over here right before 5 o'clock.
Right.
I know it's, you know, the public can change a little bit, but mm-hmm. my suggestion would be to stagger lunches, leave it open till 5 o'clock, even if you're smaller staffed. But I cover that half hour still.
The way it's working out now, that leaves me till 5 every day. Just me.
You can't manipulate schedules for others.
Due to childcare and things like that, and programming, and I can't always be there at 5 o'clock because I have programs. That's the issue.
I'm not going to tell you how to manage
I know.
I think
that's the issue that we're running into.
It only sounds like a half hour, but I think it would be a good idea. Just saying.
Right.
I agree with you, Gary. And I know you have issues with staff, but staff, as they accept positions and responsibilities, sometimes have to make adjustments in their family schedules.
Right.
Sorry, but
that's okay.
Done that.
All right.
It's your office.
The only issue I would say about that is that we do have that Dropbox, so people can always put stuff in there. And
Gary wants the personal touch.
I know.
So do most people.
And Danny wants a personal touch.
Eric, Mr. Jurgens?
One comment I'm going to make is, to me, an hour lunch is wasteful time. A half hour is enough. If you were open till 7 o'clock at night, that wouldn't be good enough for a lot of people. You know, that extra half hour, people learn, hey, this is what I got to do. This is what I got to do. To me, it makes sense what she's doing. That's just my opinion again. So.
And that's that's part of it too. You know, they sit there and sometimes, you know, Lindsay's just messing around because she's on her hour and she doesn't need to be all the time.
While we're throwing darts, since you're up here, there was some discussion, and I talked to you about this some too. I think the preference would be, when we do have an extension board, which we do want to get together again, mm-hmm. to have the staff report to you, and then have you give staff reports to the board, instead of having everyone. We always try to be fair throughout, and paid lunches and stuff for some reason are always always one that stick out a little bit. But if there's a way that the staff could report to you and then you could report to the board.
So the issue that I have there is that that kind of reduces the cohesiveness, I guess, inclusion of the office. I don't want to say, I don't want to say, Jane, you can't come to Extension Board anymore, but I'm going to tell the board what you're doing. That, you know what I mean?
Is there a way to do that after lunch then?
Well.
Or morning meetings or afternoon meetings?
We do it at lunch because we figure it's easier for people to get to. That we used to do them back at, when we had it and then had a break for a while. We used to do them in the evening. And so then, but Jane would stay for that. She wouldn't get, we didn't feed them then, but she would stay and then have hours there. And so this is to try to avoid, like, for people that are working and have kids and stuff.
If we do the half-hour lunches, if that's what you go to, can you have a half-hour lunch and where they're still off and then have the meeting the other half-hour, which would normally be lunch?
Or be there for the meeting and then take her lunch or take a half-hour another time.
Or get their reports in right away, and then that way they still have their half-hour lunch. And because it's not a big deal, but it's still a – still a full staff on salary, and then having lunch paid. it might not seem like a big deal, but when certain people are getting paid lunch or paid for lunch and lunches, mm-hmm. and then others aren't, it's just one of those things.
Okay.
If it can be, I mean, that'd be something
so
to throw out there.
So can she still get the lunch provided during the meeting and then just take her half hour later? Is that okay? I don't want to cause waves, I guess, if I'm pointing fingers at someone and saying, you can't do this, but I can. It's hard.
That's a tough one. That's where Emma Echo Gary's, you run your office. We aren't to a full extension board yet.
No, I asked one more yesterday, and she's going to let me know Friday. And then I have Tara has one she kind of wants to maybe see about, but she hasn't really worked with her yet. She's got a program coming up in July, so she's going to maybe see if this person would join after that. Just kind of work the relationship first and then ask. Otherwise, it's just like, hey, I've talked to you once. Do you want to be on our, you know what I mean? So she just wanted to kind of work that relationship a little more.
And you're still looking for names for people if anyone has suggestions.
Yeah, if you've got any. I'm always open for suggestions.
Not about this, but I got one other thing before she leaves. Just as well abuse her while we got
her. I know, jeez.
You're here. I will say on one positive note, the communication back and forth from Extension is very good, I would say. So
thank you.
That's an improvement and something we wanted.
Nothing wrong with talking to you every once in a while, Eric.
One thing, and you brought it up a little bit, so I guess it reminded me of a conversation I had with one of the Fair Board members. With the 4-H Incorporated and the 4-H building that's out on the fairgrounds, and I know the Fair Board would like to do some stuff out there, some mm-hmm. improving of things. And I know that building is in bad shape.
Yes, it is. We all agree to that.
Yeah. And I don't know what the issues are between 4-H Incorporated, whether it's something that goes through you guys somehow or if there's some way that it can be ironed out. But mm-hmm. If there's something, I don't know how aware you are of where the Fair Board stands on things. And
I didn't know how open they were to it, but I was hoping. And I know that, so right now Mike Yoakum basically manages that, and he does that so he can use it for shooting sports. And I think, so he's retiring from his work, like in a year, or maybe next year. So I would guess he might step back from that at that time. But I can sure talk with him and see if he's open to it any more than he has been in the past. I mean, it's really been kind of him spearheading that.
Is it a funding issue to get some of the repairs done over there?
To get the repairs done? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Would the 4-H Inc., would they be an eligible entity to be able to go for tourism dollars?
I don't know.
Why not? I mean,
that's
a huge draw.
It definitely needs, like, probably a bulldozer and then rebuild. It's pretty big. I mean, it's rough.
4-H has ever gone to tourism.
I don't know about that.
Tourism and
be a great. You're right, Matt. That would be a great.
Mm-hmm. If they could get some money to improve that.
Sitting there wringing their hands and start taking some action. It's easy to sit around and kick the dirt and awfulize, but.
Right.
Do something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
I can have a conversation with him sometime and see where he's at on that.
If Mike would sit down and, I mean, big picture here, I mean, that 4-H building, for years, there's always been meals served out there at the mm-hmm. fairgrounds at fair time. And
that's
I don't believe that's going anymore.
It is, and that's really what pays for electricity during the fair.
But
I got to have my air conditioner.
Be honest with you, I won't go in there and eat because you go in there and it smells like urine in there.
That's,
to me, it does.
It doesn't. It's not a pleasant scent.
Well, I'm just being
no, yeah.
forward here. I mean, honest. It is in bad shape.
It is.
And discussion should happen. I don't know
and
why.
I feel like they did talk about it. I think I was like year two at my job. And they had a sit down with the Ag Society and with the 4-H Incorporated, and we were there. And they went around and around and around, and nothing happened.
Maybe it's time to have that discussion again.
Yeah.
There's
right.
probably some ADA issues there, too.
You're probably right. Well, here a couple of years ago on the food part, they didn't have it even open because they couldn't get nobody to help it.
Yeah, they didn't have it a couple of years ago, but they've had it since then.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's planning on doing it this year. They usually get some group to come in and do it, and they get some of the proceeds, and the rest goes to, I don't know. But I can talk with him and see where we can go with that.
Anything else for Nicole?
Did we end anywhere on the hours, or do we?
I guess I would lean towards giving them a half-hour lunch and letting them go eat somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I meant the hours for the office. But I can do that, too.
That's the way I would lean personally, but like I say, it's your office, so we just give little tidbits and suggestions. As far as the hours, I think Mr. Byers and Mr. Lytle both lean towards wanting it open till 5, but I think they both also give you authority to run your office. Like I say, that's another tidbit and helpful hint, I think.
And most people usually ignore us anyway. So.
Well, I don't want to ignore you.
But to echo Mr. Juergens, I think a lot of times it is tough. Having someone there at noon, do you stagger noon then? So,
yeah, we do, because we're open the whole day until 5.
I mean, our regular hours at my in real life, we get off at 6 or later usually. So I guess a lot of us are, and Gary, I'm sure you're never back in town before. I mean, you're not back in town before 6 anyway. Depending on where you work, it makes it rough. I know some people have early hours where they get off at, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, but a lot of people don't. So it's you work around it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that side. And we've looked in, I mean, we've kind of been trying to pay attention, and really we get like 1 or 2 walk-ins or calls after 4:30. And that's like probably a week. Like that, we really don't get that many.
You know your office better than any of us.
I know there's parents like you who are coming out right at like 4:50 sometimes. And
4:59.
Sometimes. I've had that.
Parents like you.
Had some.
Parents like you.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way.
You got a board. Oh, it's another one of them.
I did not mean it. I meant people who are working full time and can't.
I knew. That's good, because there are no parents like them. There are none.
Okay.
But no, we do appreciate the back and forth all the time, Nicole.
And then these would be okay for me to go through with the desks and iPads. Okay. It's within my budget.
It's within your budget, and I really think that's the general consensus.
Do what's the best for your staff. Do all what right. you feel comfortable with.
Thank you.
I do agree with you 100% on 30-minute lunch.
Yeah. It's a long lunch to sit there for an hour. Yeah. It's really long.
Yeah. Unless you need a nap.
That's too short of a nap. That's not long enough.
That's right. Don't do that during lunch.
All right, moving along. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. I'll take my extra.
Next, I'd look for a motion to approve or disapprove the child support enforcement contract for the term of July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022.
I would move to approve child support enforcement contract for term July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022. That's gone very well, and I think we should continue it.
Second.
We have a motion. We don't have a second.
Lytle.
Oh, sorry. Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Discussion. Counselor, do you have anything for us on this?
I echo what Mr. Byers indicated. Mr. Kravix has done a great job for as long as I've been up there and many years before that. Ms. Morstead is working with him now. And again, this is one where we get some reimbursement from the state through the federal government. Again, they're doing their jobs very efficiently so that we qualify for those reimbursements. So, there is, as you probably noted, there was a small increase built in, but they have not increased their, prices for several years, so I would certainly recommend approval.
Alan was just going to look up the increase real quick, so we had that. Few thousand dollars.
It was like two or three.
It was.
But I think you're right. I don't think there's an increase the last two.
No, we've been running it on a 3-year basis, so I'm going to say there hasn't been an increase in 6 years.
Okay. The salary.
57,680, so
57. What do we do if we don't like the increase? Deny it, and then what do we do?
Once again. Well, it's under a $2,000 increase, it looks like.
Is it negotiable?
Not really.
Cost of doing business.
We've had one person doing this, too, and it seems like at a reasonable rate.
Well, and I can tell you part of that you can review from the standpoint the reimbursable costs are reviewed by the state. We hire that company, Maxis, to review it. So basically there's a double check there as if we're paying too much.
It's a yearly increase on this one of $1,700.
Okay, that's why I didn't pay it very much.
And if we put a dollar amount, what this means for families throughout our county, it would be millions of dollars. And this is a huge, huge thing for our families who need this help in our county.
Any additional discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove setting a time and date for a public hearing on a joint resolution of the Village of Barnston and the Barnston Rural Fire Protection District.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill. Do we have a date?
Yes, let's see here. I think I put in there. It would be... Public hearing would be June. I scheduled. I looked at it for June 19th at 9:15. I had to make sure I'm looking my lines here right.
Mr. Chairman, bring me up to speed on this. Why are we engaged in this?
The issue is the Village of Barnston doesn't have enough money to maintain fire protection, so they're going to enter into an interlocal agreement with the Rural Fire District. Which is also housed in Barnston. I'm not sure why the county has to be directly involved.
We have to do it because we have to prove the boundaries, I think, of theirs. We did this in 2015. Mike did this up, Mr. Willett, and that was the first time I'd had any experience with it, but we did it in 2015 for Village of Liberty so that they would, and I think as they get the fire protection now, but the taxes, they're not paying taxes for it to help support the fire. And I think what this does is change that where the residents will now be taxed for what they're already getting is the way I kind of understand it.
An additional tax?
They're not being taxed in the village for the fire services that they're receiving.
Are they? And it's going to Barnston Fire instead of – is it going to the Village of Barnston and not to the Rural Fire currently?
It's the Barnston Fire, but Barnston Rural Fire is protecting the Village of Barnston, but Village of Barnston doesn't have the tax applied to those residents for the protection of the fire that they're receiving. Is the way, don't hold me to it, but I think that's the way that he explained it to me. And we did this for Village of Liberty for the same fire district to protect them.
And I think most of them have been done at some point in time.
Yeah.
So this has to do with taxes, not actually. They actually provide the protection right
they're
now.
They're getting the protection. They're just not helping support this fire district.
Which Barnston built a new fire hall last year, I think, right in the village.
But there's nothing that would preclude or exclude Barnston from just cutting the fire department a check to help.
I can't speak to any of that. This is just Mr. Willett brought in and said that this is a process that we have to go through.
Yeah, it was more of just straightening up
the tax. Well, they list the certain tax districts that this includes, but other than that, I can't.
This is an agreement. Those two entities came up with that we have to be involved with.
The fires down there? Fires there?
Sheriff spends a lot of time putting out fires down there. Any additional discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. The motion carries.
So public hearing will be.
Public hearing will be June 19th at 9:15 a.m.
Right. And then they'll want to vote. They would like to have a vote at that same time so that it can be effective July 1.
Shouldn't be any reason not to do that. That would be the normally we wait 2 weeks for a public hearing or after a public hearing to vote. Is anyone opposed to voting that same day? This is more procedural than anything.
I think so, yes.
Approve or disapprove amendment number 14 to the food service contract between Gage County and Summit Food Services, LLC, formerly known as CBM Managed Services.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. This is an increase, basically, of $28,000 to the corrections meal plan. It comes up, it's a very small amount per meal. I don't remember what it...
$1.10.
$1.10 per meal increase. Total, yeah, per meal. There was a small increase. But over the year's time, that ended up equating to approximately $28,000. Doesn't take much, 3 square a day, to end up a lot of money. But
back to bread and water, that'd be fine.
But just so you know, the increase, approximately $28,000 increase to the meal plan.
And a chain gang.
Yeah.
I like the chain gang idea. Any other discussion on this? Mr. Juergens.
I mean, just thinking about this, that makes our outside holding look cheaper yet. So
it all plays into that.
Yep.
That's something that we haven't figured a lot of times either when we figure cost per bed. We figure our overall budget, but that just goes right on top of that again.
How much additional funding is the county or the state putting into mental health to prevent people from being incarcerated in the first place?
Oh.
Keep cutting money out of them budgets.
Vast majority of the people that are in there have untreated mental health issues.
Additional discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove amendment number 1 to the agreement between Gage County and Advanced Correctional Health, Inc. for the provision of inmate health services.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. This is in addition to ACH. Which would be the nursing services, medical services to the corrections facility. I believe some type of mental health screenings, probably medicine. Sheriff, do you want to go over that a little bit, what this includes?
The contract itself isn't changing from the past. The amendment is where the old contract was we had 8 hours a week of medical. That was absolutely not cutting it at all. We just, as Matt alluded to, mental health is a real issue, and the contract has some hours in there for this. What this is doing is it's raising it to 25 hours a week in the hopes that the nurse and the nurse practitioners can get done what they have to do, because 8 hours a week is not cutting it. And then if they go over, which I don't like, because then I, by contract, have to pay them the time and a half of the contract. So this hopefully would eliminate some of that problem, and they can get some things done there for us. It's been a good program for us. They cover a lot of the drugs for us. We have almost virtually eliminated visits to the medical clinics anymore because of this. So we do occasionally go to BCH. I just put out some stuff yesterday. We'll try to do more of the express clinic now as much as we can. If it's not emergency, to cut back on an expense. But it really has been a blessing for us to have somebody come in there once a week, and hopefully it'll be a lot more when they're at least a few hours a day. It seemed to be a good number. Talking to the company, I said 25 looked like a pretty good number. They found out in the past other jails have done this. So that's kind of what we're recommending on this one.
What are we talking about? Increased cost? What are we?
Just in day.
I got that note here.
So they're here no matter what. That's what you said.
That's where there's going to be an increase of $31,924.49. It was $45,000, basically going to $76,000.
Hey, do we have the money for that in the budget? Will that go into next year's budget?
July 1, yeah. So I've got that figured in. I've been talking to Eric. That's figured into that budget I've got, so, yeah.
How do we approve the amendment without knowing that we've got the dollars to support it?
Well, unfortunately, in the jail, whether we have the money or not, we're required to pay for it. So we have to find the dollars somewhere. And I guess the logic behind this would be that we're spending this money, but the sheriff feels that we'll save enough money on going to medical clinics, things like that, as well as transports, that even by spending this, we're going to spend less than we would have if we didn't.
I agree with the concept. I'm just questioning the details on when it's adopted and what the budget does. You know, can we approve an amendment without having the dollars? I think it makes a difference.
It does make a difference. I mean, if this is approved, We'll find the dollars from one place or another. I mean,
okay, so we're just finding the dollars.
Well, I mean, it comes out of something else, whether it's out of road gravel or whether it's out of, I mean, every time
you spend money. Not very good at just finding dollars.
Every time you spend money, it comes from somewhere, so.
That's my point.
We just transferred $170,000 into the jail budget 2 weeks ago. That's $170,000 that would have been used somewhere else. So someone else, I mean, we just have to take it somewhere else. 25 hours a week. But you're right. We can't just come up with the money. If we approve this, something else gets cut. That's exactly right, Senator.
And I haven't seen the amendment, so I don't know.
You have a copy.
Yeah, it would have been attached to the stuff from the committee meeting Monday. It's on there.
Oh, okay.
Both of them are, Denny. Both the food one and the ACH medical. They were both on there.
Danny, pardon the analogy, but sometimes we kind of feel handcuffed on some of these things. I went there.
No kidding. Any additional discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Taught me how to do that.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Come on.
I didn't go water.
Don't disagree. Oh, my God.
Next, the Bauman Grant, approve or disapprove Parks and Recreation Grant submitted by the Village of Pickerel.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Juergens. Mr. Bauman, do you have any discussion on this? Or?
No, I think the Village Board and Ross Connick provided the details of this. They continue to improve their public space, specifically the Veterans Memorial that is there in Pickerel. If you drive by that park, get out, walk. It's very well done, and they're continuing to make improvements. So this is just another addition there.
Are you looking for this, Matt?
And they do have. I think they keep track of people that come, and I think during the dedication at one point they had folks mark where they're coming from, and there's a lot of families that come back and see that as they had family members who have served in the armed services, and so they'll come back and like to see their family member's name. So I think they've done a very good job of
honoring our veterans and service members, and you'll see that there. So,
I think Mr. Jergens has said this before, too. The amount of money that goes into that is small compared to what the community spend. And Pickerel has been really aggressive on this. They've done a really good job at updating and bringing people in. Odell's another one that's always updating. It'd be nice to see more applications from Odell. We have a...
I agree. Pickerel, they just do a wonderful job, and I would support this 100%.
We have a motion by Bauman, second by Jergens. Any additional discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. The motion carries. And this would go on next year's budget as well. Discussion on repairing of 89th Road from Highway 4 to Coke, Rockford Road, and the Holmesville Road from Highway 136 to the B-line. This was a discussion in committee meetings that we were going to bring to the full board to talk about. With budget time coming, if we're going to make any repairs to the roads or reconstruction on these asphalt roads, we kind of have to start making decisions so that we can give Galen some direction as far as what to budget for. These three pieces, we had a Hot in Place recycling company look at. Did all three meet potential requirements, or was there only two of them that?
Well, I had sent them previous core samples.
Instead of tapping, Galen, would you please come up to the microphone?
Yeah. I had sent them previous core samples of 89th Road and of the Holmesville Road from 136 down to the B-line. We don't have no core samples on the Rockford Lake 4-mile stretch. And from them reviewing the core samples that I sent them, because originally when he had sent me his first email after we looked at those roads, he was saying that since they were cold mix roads, they really weren't a good candidate for it. Well, and then, so there was no misunderstanding. I went ahead and sent in them core samples, and it showed whether there was, say, 3 or 4 or 6 or 7 inches of asphalt on top of that cold mix base. And then he sent an email back saying with looking at that, he thought they might be a candidate for hot in place asphalt on that. And that. But he did say, you know, they'd have to come down and do their own take their own core and see what it would take to do those miles if it was, you know, practical to do those on that.
And in addition to that, we have to remember, even if we have a lower price tag on the hot in place, that's not a finished product. We then either have to do an armor coat on top of that product that they're done with or do a overlay on top of it as well. I guess we were looking for opinions for, are we going to do some road repair, some asphalt repair this year? Do we let it ride another year? We have an armor coat project that's starting and running right now. I assume that's what all that gravel at the Adams yard was for.
Yes.
So they're in process of doing that right now. But we've got 156 miles of asphalt. These three pieces of road being the worst. So I guess,
well, Mr. now Jergens. I just want to make a comment, you know. Basically, all these roads are in one district. No.
Well, they are.
I mean, don't take it wrong. They're in one district. Everybody in their district has a tough road. I don't care where it's at or who you are. There's a road that needs repair. But we're just focusing on one area. I think that, you know, I don't know if that'd be proper. I mean, you go to Claytonia, Matt. I know that road up in there. I drove it not long ago. It's in bad need of repair.
I appreciate what you're saying. And in that, maybe we should start with the 89th to Highway 4 by Coke, because that's in my district. We could start there. See how it works.
And I guess I'll comment, Terry. You know, the Claytonia Road is not in great shape, but it's not in the shape the Holmesville Road is. And when we did our road bond issued last time, the Holmesville Road had not been cored at that time.
I'm not 100%
sure. And actually, it should have been done at that time.
As far as
It's in sad shape.
Overlays.
And these although Supervisor Hill has suggestions on these roads, we did ask Galen what were the worst roads that we currently have, and these three were the three that were given to us. Is Coke in your?
No.
Also, is that Matt's? So
I
was going to say one of those roads is outside of Mr. Hill's district, but those were the three roads that Galen gave us.
And Terry, Eric, and I haven't had nearly as much money spent on our roads as you have over in Odell.
So. Well, I had a fair amount on my road last year, so I can't say anything.
Were the traffic counts ever done on these roads? I mean, finalized. I know there was an issue with them.
Holmesville was, but we had a traffic counter failure.
There was something wrong with something of the day.
I had traffic counts done on Holmesville. I have four traffic counters, and I had all four of them out. One did not work. The traffic count at Highway 136, I had that wrote down, like 661 average daily traffic, and that is the north end. On the south end, north of the B-line, it was 300 and some of the cars on the south end when I took those. In between, let's see if I wrote that down. Traffic count. Okay. The south end of the 59 road in the B-line intersection was 241 average daily traffic. Traffic count put on Highway 136 on South 36 Road had a daily average of 661. That would be the segment. Basically, you're catching the quarry in that first three-mile segment there on that. I didn't write down. There was one in the middle of the that I said in the middle there by Holmesville, but I don't have that one wrote down. I don't remember what that one was.
So, and then,
but I didn't take any for this previous thing on the South 89 Road.
The Rockford Road?
The Rockford Road, I didn't take any. I currently got traffic counters out on it.
I question that one also, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I got counters out on it.
I'm looking at dollars it's going to take to do this. I'm looking at dollars that were just spent today. I guess I'm in an area where I catch a lot of traffic and a lot of discussion about our taxes. And these, you know, undoubtedly, we're not going to have the money for this. Is that coming someplace? Are we going to want to say, hey, next year we're going to do this. We're going to increase your taxes one more time. That's my thing.
Well, okay. Terry, I hate to put it like this, but we can't increase their taxes. I mean,
that's my thought.
in all realism, the taxes are already at a maximum level.
They have to be.
They have to be. It's not by choice.
You'd have to go bonding.
Yeah, I mean, outside
but
of
I mean,
doing
these
road
extra
bonding,
dollars are going to come from someplace. Are going to have to come from someplace. Okay.
How many miles here at Holmesville Road to the B? What are we? Or what's the worst stretch? We've talked about this in place.
There's total of 9.3 miles total from 136 down to the B line. Last year? The first 3 miles, we did go in there and mill that down to get rid of the rutting on that, knowing that within, say, 2 to 3 years, we better get in there and, say, overlay it or something, because that's the heavy traffic part with all the heavy trucks going on it. It was just a temporary thing that we did to get rid of the severe rutting that was going on there.
Well, and so, I guess that's where my focus would be, is looking at one segment, given this in-place paving a try. We've talked about that forever. We haven't pulled the trigger on it. Is this an opportunity? We've been scratching around on that road for a while. We know that thing's going to fall apart.
And the approximate cost was per mile for that in place was what, Galen? 200?
For the 2-inch in place,
yeah.
I believe that day we rode with him, it was $70,000 or $75,000 was his guesstimate to it. But then that don't include the patching you do prior to that and the, say, the armor coating that would
after,
go over
it. It has
afterwards.
To be armor coated afterwards.
Now, I did talk to Mark about this to kind of get his 2 cents worth. And he says the thing about your 2-inch hot-in-place asphalt, he says, it really has no structural value. He says basically you're going in there and you're grinding up the top 2 inches, okay, and then they do their testing on it to see what it lacks in oils and stuff, and basically that oil is mixed in there and then it's laid back. And he said that has no structural value. Whereas if you go in and you do an overlay, you say you go in and do a 1-inch or 2-inch mill and then a 1 or 2-inch overlay back on top of that, he says you're gaining your structural value back in by doing that. Whereas in the in-place, he says you're using all your old material, your same old aggregates and stuff like that, so you're really not gaining no structural strength back out of that, was his opinion.
And you're not gaining any, but you're actually losing structural strength in those 2 inches? I mean,
he just said it didn't have no structural value. That's is what he said.
Is he saying that aggregate is getting ground up?
He says that I don't know.
I would wonder about that because I mean most of that aggregate I would argue is hundreds of thousands of years old already. A few more years I don't think is going to make a difference. But I mean I don't know as far as the strength.
I can tell you.
The biggest thing is if we're going to do a structural fix, we have the 3R guidelines that we have to go with. We're only allowed that top scratch surface to work with. Otherwise, we're stuck building shoulders and everything else. Or do you have more on that?
Well, I talked to Mark because I did have a question on that. I said, you know, we went in and we did that 1 to 2 inch mill on that first 3 miles of Holmesville. So I said, could you even go in there and do that 2-inch potty in place? And because I said the way I read those 3R guidelines is that we've already, say, taken off 2 inches, so you can't go down and mill another 2 inches. No, he says, if you really read those guidelines, just like on that Holmesville 3 miles, he says, as long as you don't get down into the base, you could, if you wanted to go in and grind another inch down and then put like a 3-inch overlay on top of that, he says, you can do that. But he says you cannot get into the base material on those roads.
Would that be the suggestion then, as we're fixing roads, to mill down to near base and build it back up?
Well, you got to take a look at your cores that you have. Some of these roads like that one, I'm going off the top of my head, had 7 to 8 inches of asphalt on top of that. So just depends on how far you want to mill down then lay back on that. So the roads vary on your depth of your asphalt.
I guess the discussion we really need is what direction do we want Galen to be going for budgeting? Do we want to pick a road and try to rebuild, but fix a piece of road? Do we want to let them ride? Do we want to I guess we're caught up on armor coating this year. What direction do you want Galen to go? And then once we know that, what specific roads?
It's actually 14.
We don't need an answer today, of course, but we will need one as we're getting closer. July's not far away already, and
I don't know. That was one of his things they said.
Mr. Lytle?
Excuse me. I was just asking Galen what our cost would be per mile on an overlay. 2-inch overlay is around $90,000 a mile. With hot in place, if we're spending $75,000 a mile for the hot in place, turn around spending $13,000 on armor coat, plus doing patching ahead of time, you're going to spend about the same as an overlay. So what's the point of doing the hot in place?
The overlay, we'd also have about the same patching, correct?
You'd do your same patching, yes.
Yeah, that's true. But you're still, with the hot in place and the armor coating, you're still $88,000.
Use 90 times.
Is 90 about all inclusive? Is that mill and over
on the hot mix?
is that mill and overlay, or is that the hot mix itself?
Mark said this spring on their overlay projects, he said it run $90,000 to $100,000 for a 2-inch overlay. But he says your patching and your, if you want a mill, that would be on top of that.
So that would be a little more. I think the big thing with the recycle in place is trucking is fairly expensive. So then you have the mill and the trucking of all the millings off. Where the hot in place, you basically save the trucking and the milling's done all at the same pass.
And the last time there was milling and the trucks drove on the.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for us?
Overloaded, wasn't it?
Overloaded grain trucks again.
No,
but
yeah.
That's something, Mr. Jurgis.
Yeah.
Um,
Well, undoubtedly, if that close together money-wise, the 2-inch overlay would be a better solution, I think. I mean, if they're that I didn't think they were that close together.
I think you're going to have...
But the other option is, you know, for sure, on that type of system, you will get nothing done this year. I mean, you'd be looking next year, because I don't know of any local project around here that they'd be able to slide in, because weather-related, I mean, that hot in place could probably get done this year, I would guess, but that weather-related on the other 2-inch overlays, it isn't going to happen this year simply because of time, you know. So you'd be looking at next year, I would assume.
Is it realistic? We're probably looking at about a $20,000 to $30,000 per mile difference between hot in place and a mill and overlay. Rough That's numbers.
Like roughly, probably. Yeah. I really don't know. I do know. I also talked to the state area district supervisor for this area and asked him, you know, on the state level, if they've been doing a lot of this. And he said, down in this district, they haven't done much. Because I said, well, I do know about 2-3 years ago, you'd done some hot in place from Beatrice to Plymouth. And talked to him about that a little bit. And he told me, I didn't think they went that deep, but he said, yeah, he said, they milled off the top 1 or 2 inches of asphalt, and they used that to put back in their overlay part. But he had mentioned something about they'd done a 5-inch, ground it down 5-inch total. Then they laid back, once they got that laid down, they went back over with 1 or 2 of asphalt on top of that. And on that, and he said the state hasn't done too very much of that. They have talked about maybe doing a little bit more. And he said that's down in this area, they just haven't done much. And on that, and he says one thing that you want to keep in mind, as he's been to different construction meetings, that they dwell on is, that it, you've got to have a good base under your road. If you have a road that's rutting and stuff, it's not a good candidate for in-place, hot in-place recycling.
Was that hot or cold on 4?
That was hot.
That was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is our new NDOT director, I think he's Kyle Shinowitz. He was hired 2 years ago. He's from KDOT, and that stuff, the recycling in place, is big in Kansas. We just haven't seen it. It wasn't even approved up here yet. And I'm not saying we need to do that or anything, or even that we need to plan a project. Just I'd like the board to give direction to Galen what we do want him to do.
I will say on that, I call it the Hanover Road, and they've done it for sure once on that road, but that truck gets heavy, heavy truck traffic going to Hanover. And it's remarkably in good shape. Remarkably in good shape for the traffic, the heavy traffic it gets. So there's got to be something to that. But it might have a base this deep. I have no idea about that. But I know that road, for the traffic it takes, unbelievable to me.
That was
probably at least maybe Matt 6.
And you're talking the Kansas part.
I'm talking the Kansas part.
That was hot in place that they did there?
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's what it makes me wonder. I guess I'd like to hear from Mark why he's saying structurally it does no value, because if they're putting
and that's why that was stated, that why I thought you won't get heavier, other than the quarry, you won't get heavier traffic on a road than that one, and it's all year long. It's not just seasonal. It's year around.
Didn't that used to be a concrete road underneath there? Is that might be the base?
I don't
is a concrete.
Think so.
I don't believe it ever has been, Matt, but I remember.
Just on the Nebraska.
I do know though on that road after that hot in place, and I don't remember if it was the next year they had to come back, but they did have to come back and do an overlay on top of that.
And that's possible, Galen. Maybe
they did have some issues in places, and they did come back. I can't tell you if they done a 1, 2, or 3-inch overlay, but I do know they had to come back and do some more work on that.
Now, Galen, when he was talking about the structural integrity of those 2 inches of hot in place, was he saying it would have the same structural integrity?
He just said it does have no structural value.
So he's saying we'd basically lose those 2 inches as far as structural integrity.
I'm going to step on a limb. I didn't talk to Mark.
I couldn't tell you.
I wonder if what that means would be the same as a 2-inch overlay, if it's talking about mirroring the cracks, the structural cracks that are already existing. Because if we do a hot in place, if we do a mill overlay, regardless, when we're only working with that top 2 inches, any of those structural cracks below are going to mirror through.
Yep.
Yeah, it don't matter if it's hot in place or hot mix asphalt. Eventually, they will come back through those thermal cracks.
Galen, do you think you could get Mark to come down to committee meetings, maybe our next committee meetings, to visit about?
I'll try.
The potential, or even for our next board meeting, maybe see what he thinks as far as cold in place, hot in place, mill overlays, and then also conditions of these roads. I mean, he's familiar with them also. See, maybe at least get his opinion, what he thinks we should do going forward, because we do have 156 miles we need to take care of. You either maintenance them or put them back to gravel.
Of course, he'd be down here if you want him to pay. If you want to pay for him.
Try to get him to schedule something at another county where he's driving through and he can just stop by and visit with us.
This is a large ticket item, and there are a lot of questions out there. Mm-hmm. at least I have a lot of questions out there. And do I say we let all of them go? No. I mean, if you look back... you've got to take care of your roads, I guess. You've got to somehow find the money, but that's my biggest issue. You know, where is that money coming from?
Terry's kind of saying the same thing I was just going to bring up. We have a 1 and 6 year program to work through, and I don't recall seeing any of these projects on 1 and 6 year projects.
I think they are. I think 89th Road's on the 1 and 6.
I'd have to look back.
I don't remember either.
I'd have to look.
Unless it's an emergency type deal, and we just absolutely have to find the money and do it right now, they really need to work through the 1 and 6.
And that's the way it should work. And
I think that was added, wasn't it, John?
I think maybe the Rockford Road is not on the 1 and 6. I'm not sure about it, but I think the other two are.
I think the other two were added to it. I think.
Could be. I'll check.
I think they were there.
We're not in emergency.
I think. But the Rockford Road, is that a county road?
Well, it's a shared road with the state.
Is it a county road, though? I mean, that's my question.
My
what do you call that, Galen? Do you do snow and all that kind of stuff
on
it?
Yes, we're responsible for the maintenance on that road, actually.
We are responsible.
As far as I know,
on that road.
We're just helping.
But it actually goes to a recreational area, correct?
Well, I mean, it's a regular county road. Even when you leave those first 2 miles of asphalt going south, it turns into a county gravel road from there.
Okay.
The asphalt section goes the first 2 miles, and then it turns and goes east into the Rockford Lake area. But that's actually when you.
But what we're actually that blacktop road originally went to Rockford, right?
That I
or
can't
serve
answer.
Rockford or no?
I have no answer. It's been
not the town of Rockford.
I think it did, but Rockford Lake's been there a long time.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'm not
thinking. And we aren't in an emergency situation or anything. It's just with this getting closer to budget time, if we are going to spend any big money, any big ticket items, we should give some direction. But
I do think the section in Matt's district would be a good one to start with, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that would be a great idea.
Well, he just got his old road fixed last year, so.
Hickory, that's been a couple of years. That's your road.
Your house was on that
no,
before.
No. Your road.
All right. Good discussion.
So would you like Mark to come down for Road and Ridge or board or whichever he can make?
Does Terry?
You know, if he could, I don't know if we need him at a regular board meeting right now, but if he could, I would like to see dollars, approximate. We can ask him the questions we've asked. What his thoughts were on these things. I mean, I don't know. There's just a lot of questions out there that I don't have answered. I don't know.
And, Matt, like you said, we've been talking about this. We could try some. I'd just as well not do that. I'd rather get the information from the state since they've tried it. The stuff we're doing, small potatoes compared to the miles they're putting down. So let's let them do the testing, and we'll ride their coattails. would be my thought.
Well, that's a switch. You're suggesting that we follow the states. Did you hear that?
I'm saying use the state for research.
State Patrol to be there to watch.
And State Patrol can stay home. Anything else for Galen? Galen, do you know what we're wanting? Because I don't exactly.
We want Mark.
Mark, come on.
I'll have Mark, I'll try to get in for the next road and bridge and tell him for sure at this point we're really looking at Holmesville and 89th Road for those two examples and go from there.
And tell him if he wants to maintain his contract, he'll do it as a complimentary thing. So.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over the sheriff. Moving on, next up on the agenda is discussion on the percentage of increases or decreases to county employee wages for the fiscal year 1920. This is something we talked about just a little bit in Road and Bridge, in the finance. Be thinking about this. I don't know if anyone has any comment on this right now, but we will be talking about this and voting on it in 2 weeks to see what we'll put forward for county employees.
We have county elected officials here if they'd like to make some comments relative to this.
Patty, Lori, do you have any comments?
Took time to come down, so obviously they got something they want to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say, usually when we see Lori here or Patty, it's for more money, so...
And since they've been here, they're only getting half an hour for lunch.
We will have a closed session for the sheriff today. Is there anything else?
Yeah. What's the normal increase, or what have you been hearing? I mean, you probably got...
I think we talked, like, the cost of living is around 2%.
We see what those dollars, maybe we can just run some dollar amounts and see what, you know, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, just so we have a comparison from a county, how that would impact the budget.
Okay.
Maybe for a committee.
I don't even know what the dollar amount would be. And then do we need to make any market adjustments? Are we competitive, or are we not even going to consider
that? We haven't even gone that route.
When you get in and start doing wage studies, there's so many factors that, you know, and obviously we've got the dark cloud hanging over us, which is huge, but if we're just going to throw money at it to appease ourselves, we might find ourselves really off, or we might find ourselves going over.
I would suggest not doing a wage study or anything like that this time, just because we adjusted 2 years ago.
And some of them are still within that wage range as well, so.
I'm not suggesting, I'm just... saying that if you do that, if we're comfortable where we're at, but sometimes we can get way ahead and we just, you know, the finances just aren't there. You know, if somebody's really off where their wage needs to be increased and somebody's right in the sweet spot, we might not do across the board. Maybe we'd leave the person that's paid right, leave them alone and try to move the person that's maybe under. And maybe that makes it very... I'm just throwing out what-ifs.
I would argue nobody's under right now. I mean, just by the way we adjusted the last time. if they were at the cap, we held them. If they were below the minimum, we raised them to the minimum, and everyone else shifted it accordingly. Is that accurate, Don?
Last year, we just did the 2%. We moved last year 2%.
But 2 years ago, we made...
2%, the year before when we did the wage study, or 2 years, whatever it's been, we moved them into the minimum.
I didn't
and
too.
Then anybody else that was within the minimum to maximum, we gave a 2 or 2.5% increase.
And I would say that's recent enough that that's adjusted on more they need to be, and
yeah.
This one can be a uniform number.
Time goes by so fast.
I'm sorry, Terry.
Well, just one comment. I'll make a suggestion now that we keep these raises to as minimal as possible. I mean, it's...
I agree with you. I thought that you were going to, when we were talking on Monday, I thought you were going to ask for decreases, so I was wrong.
Well, I know that's not in the cards, but.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. But I just know what the it's like out there, so.
It's rough. And like I say, we can't increase taxes, nor do we want to. But, I mean, if there's any consolation to the taxpayer, they know what's coming from the county side of things because we are at that maximum. There won't be an increase as far as that goes. Gary, did you have something? I didn't know.
I can if you want me to.
Well, no, I didn't know if you were trying to say something here a second ago.
Seems like in municipal business that there's factored in a raise every year unlike private business. And if it's normal operating business to have a raise of some sort, then we're supposed to be operating as normal, then I don't think that we can have the black cloud hanging over our heads saying we can't do that.
I will bring up when I was on the city council, we did freeze wages at one point in time for I can't remember if it was 1 year or 2 years, just because there were some financial difficulties. A lot of that stuff no one hears about because you operate as things are going. But just like you said, in private business, we don't have an increase every year. Nothing says that we have to. Whatever the consensus of the board is what we'll go forward with. But there doesn't have to be an increase. There can be a decrease. We can have a flat year, too. So anything's on the table. Just be thinking about it, and we'll talk about it again in 2 weeks and hopefully come up with something.
Or there can be raises and riffs.
That's also possible. Nothing says we have to treat everyone the same. It's a little different in the public world. You don't seem to be paid for performance and demoted for non-performance. Anything else, gentlemen? We will have a closed session then for the sheriff. Do we need to have a motion to go in the closed session? I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:28 on the clock, necessary for the protection of the public interest.
Mr. Chairman, is this an emergency? Because this does not show on the agenda.
I know. He said it's possible litigation.
Well, yeah, but okay. But we have to declare that. We should have done that. I would suggest you adjust your agenda.
Do we have a motion and a second to do that then, or how do we adjust our agenda?
Well, yeah, I mean, because, again, why the press is still here, you want to make sure you let them know what this is about, and it is an emergency.
Is this an emergency, Gus?
Oh, it can wait 2 weeks if you want. I mean, it's just I want to let you know because it could be possible litigation. We don't know.
Basically, this is this informational thing we talked about the other day.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
it's just information. That's all it is.
It's not. There's no action needed by the board. The sheriff has notified people that need to be notified. We've talked about it, and we can bring the board up to speed. And I understand. You may want to let the chairperson know just so he can pass it on if he deems it appropriate. But I would just say it's based on that. I would not be an emergency situation.
All right. In that case, then, we won't go into closed session, and I would ask for...
No, we are going in, are we?
No. There's no closed session on the agenda.
Okay. I would ask for a motion to adjourn, then.
Did you want to discuss those two lines on different budgets, or are you going to worry about that later? We talked about before.
On the...
One on the jail, one on the sheriff's side for the new 1920, or not? Or do it again in committee?
Let's do it in committee and talk about it then, and the... Gary and you and I can talk about it real quick. But
hey, Jerry.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Vote. We are adjourned.
This is an annual draft.
No, that's fine. I didn't know what it was for.
Well, it's...
Well, I count on you, Lytle, because I'm here.